It's All Things Considered on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mary Williams. We'll have recommendations from this week's Art Hounds in just a few minutes, but first, it's our weekly conversation on the arts. Thea Alvin of Morrisville creates arches and spirals and sculpture from stone. Really enormous arches and spirals and sculptures, some that weigh nearly 12 tons, and somehow they still look fragile. And she does it one stone at a time. She joins us here today. How would you describe your creative outlet?
The work definitely has a flow and a fluidity to it. It defies gravity, sort of, but that's really an oxymoron because it absolutely uses gravity to stay up. That's the whole point. I think the easiest word would be a construction, although that's sort of flat and bland. So if I was to use one word, it's pulchritudinous. Pulchritudinous is a word that means pretty, but it means pretty in the fullest sense of beauty, of shape and form and structure and usefulness, while the pattern and the overall setting is very aesthetically pleasing.
And when did you begin to create?
For the past 15 years, I've been sculpting. I worked in a gallery in Stowe, and one of my fellows said, "There's this art show in Burlington, and I've entered you in it. So you better figure something out. Here's the deadline." I worked every day after work with a pile of marble that I was given, and I built an arch, and it fell down. And I built another arch, and it fell down. So then I began to look at arches in architecture that I could see over windows and over doors. The shape that I wanted is a segment of a circle. It's some portion of a circle. So then I took the circle idea home, and I cut a piece of plywood to be half of a circle. I created a form with 2x4s and two pieces that were the same, and I put that on the ground, and I built the marble arch over it, and it was beautiful. I had this white marble arch with a piece of plywood under it that I couldn't get out. So I go, "Oh, no! Problem number two." So then I went back to the drawing board, and I figured that I needed to have a pair of wedges underneath of the form so that I could hammer out the wedges, and then the form would drop out, and then the arch would stay. It took all summer to figure that out, but that was how I did it. And then I had a white marble arch in Waterbury that needed to be in Burlington. So I put it in my Volkswagen Jetta, block by block, and carried it to Burlington. And then I needed new shocks and struts in my car. But that was how I started as a sculptor.
I suppose you can't just walk into an art supply store and say, "Hey, can I have 5 tons of rock?" Do you find your medium in nature?
I'm inspired by nature. When I go out into the wild, I see the shapes of trees and the shapes of rocks and the natural waterfalls and draw a lot of inspiration from the natural environment. I also am asked to travel quite a lot. I go all over the country and into Europe and a little bit in Asia to do installations, and I can't bring my tools and my materials with me to those places. So I need to learn in situ what is there and how that will be able to adapt into what the right sculptural form is for that installation. The arch that I have at the Vermont Council for the Arts down in Montpelier is 12 tons. I'm a small person. I like really big sculptures. And so the more material you can get, the better, the bigger, the grander it will look.
So you take inspiration from nature. How about other buildings and structures?
We have a lot of tourists that come to Vermont. They look at our landscape and our trees and our quaint little villages, and they're like, "Oh, look, a farmhouse. Oh, look, a barn. Oh, a sugar shack." And these things we pass by every day here, and they're, for me, as iconic and stately and architectural and sculptural as you could ever imagine.
And how much math and physics is involved in creating a spiral or an arch from stone?
The higher maths and the geometry involved in arches and in the arch form is, it's an easy math, and it's very complex at the same time. And once I learned it, then I began to own it and feel it, so that I didn't have to do the math problem in number form anymore. I used a Fibonacci sequence to create the golden matrix. There are all sorts of ways to solve Fibonacci math in nature. For instance, the pine cone, the conch shell, the pineal gland in your brain. The way that our body is proportioned were all mathematical solutions.
Can you teach this to others?
I have quite a few classes coming up, actually. At the Yes Tomorrow class in June, it's called The Art of Stone.
So what's next?
I have a workshop in Underhill to build a big moon gate for a meditation and yoga retreat center. So that's looking for students as well. And when that class is done, then I go to Northern Italy, where we'll be doing a historic restoration project on a 15th century village in the Alps.
This is Open Studios Weekend in Vermont. Can listeners visit and see your sculptures?
I have an open studio, so I welcome people to come.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and talking to me today. It was great to meet you, and can't wait to see what's next.
Thanks so much.
See Thea's works, find out about Yes Tomorrow and other classes, and get details on how to visit her studio at her website, myearthwork.com, and then go to vpr.net to see a photo gallery of her amazing work. And now, here's Art Hounds.